There are two ways of amassing a spirit for culture, the method impersonalist. Philosophers and by devotional service. The impersonalist comes to the conclusion that he is supreme of one, whereas devotees or personalists realize the absolute truth by understanding that because the absolute truth is supreme predominator, we living entities predominated, our duty is to serve him. The Vedic injunctions say, Tat Vamasi, you are the same, and Soham, I am the same. The impersonalist conception of these mantras is that the Supreme Lord, or the absolute truth and the living entity are one. That the devotee's point of view, these mantras that serve that both the Supreme Lord and ourselves are of the same quality. Tattvamasi, I am Aham Brahma. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are spirit. Understanding this is self-realization. The human form of life is meant for understanding the Supreme Lord and oneself by spiritual cultivation of knowledge. One should not waste valuable life simply engaged in economic development and sense gratification. In this verse, the word chakrabhe is also important. This word is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Idam Sariram Kauntiya Kshatram Iti Avihiyate. This body is called Kshatra and the proprietor of the field of the body, the individual soul or super soul sitting within the body, the book called Kshatrabhe. But there is a difference between the two kinds of Kshatrabhe. One Kshatrabhe or Nahor of the body, meaning the Parma or the super soul, is directing the individual soul. When we are to take the direction of the super soul, our lives become successful. He is directing from within and from without. From within, he is directing as Chaitya Guru, or the spiritual master sitting within the heart. Indirectly, he is also helping the living entity by manifesting himself as a spiritual master outside. In both ways, the Lord is giving directions to the living entity so that he may finish off his material activities and come back home back to Godhead. The presence of the supersoul and the individual soul within the body can be perceived by anyone by the fact that as long as the individual soul and the supersoul are both living within the body is always shining and fresh. But as soon as the supersoul and the individual soul give up possession of the gross body, it immediately decomposes. One who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. In conclusion, one should not waste his finding so-called economic development and sense gratification, which cultivates spiritual knowledge to understand the supersoul and the individual soul and the relationship. In this way, by advancement of knowledge, one can achieve liberation and ultimate goal of life. Instead, that if one takes to the path of liberation, even rejecting the so-called duties in the material world, he's not a loser at all. But a person who does not take to the path of liberation and carefully execute economic development and sense gratification loses everything. In our statement before Vyasa is appropriate in this conclusion. Katvasa dharmam saranam vajram adair vajana pato tapatit tato yadi yatrik bhava bhadra abhu namushakim kovata apto pachatam sudanataha. If a person out of sentiment or for some other reason takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in due course of time, does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience, there is no loss. But for a person who does not take to devotional service, it executes his material duties very nicely, there is no gain. Sanat Kumar advised the king, therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of God who is living in everyone's heart, along with the individual soul and in each and every body, moving and non-moving. Individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body, subtle body, made of light, air, and intelligence. So, here, Sanat Kumar is telling Prithu Maharaj to understand Supreme Lord and the Atma. And then he says, so asmi, I am he. Which means what? So we see this often in we see it in the Upanishad also. So asmi, I am that. And in Upanishads also. And it is often identified as identification of the Atma with the Supreme Lord. So it is often used by impersonalists to support their point that ultimately the jiva is Brahman. And the point of the whole point of liberation is to simply identify with Brahman. We see in the Upanishad this statement is made. And of course, we'll find it in other Upanishads, even in the Yomotapani Upanishad, Portland Shrinatapani Upanishad. We'll find a similar statement. I am he, I am that. How do the Vaishnavas interpret this? So there are various ways of doing this, but ultimately the conclusion is that the jiva and the Supreme Lord are not identical. One can identify with the Supreme Lord, as Prabhupada says here, in terms of quality. This is to emphasize the fact that we're not identifying with the material body. So we can say, yes, we are spiritual, not material. So to that extent, we can identify. So then it's a positive statement in that way. At the same time, there are reasons why we cannot give a complete identity that I am Supreme Lord or I am Brahman. And the reasons are that we also find statements to the contrary. So for instance, we'll find in Svetasvara Upanishad, Svetasvara Upanishad, we'll find the statement, there's two birds in the tree, etc. So, if they're one, how come we have two? and of course many, many other places we'll find a differentiation between the jiva and the Supreme Lord. And at the same time, if there is only one thing, how does the jiva exist separate from the Supreme Lord at a certain point in time? And be in ignorance, as I said here, the jiva is covered by these coverings of the body, the senses, the pranas, and intelligence. So atmas are material. So how does the jiva get in this position if he's Brahman? So of course this gives rise to a lot of philosophical debate, how Brahman can be covered at all. So, to get rid of such complicated arguments, the Vaishnavas simply accept the fact that the jiva actually is not literally Brahman. He is not equal to God in all respects. So therefore, the statement is taken in a secondary way. That's one way of interpreting it. Madhvacharya gives a different interpretation, I think, and says that Soham is actually the name of God. So it doesn't say I am he, it's God saying I am God. So it's just a name of God. Anyway, the idea of the Vaishnavas is that there's never complete identity. However, there is a point of identification in the sense that on the level of prema, the devotee identifies with the Supreme Lord because of possessiveness. So in bhava and prema, we have an increase of mamata, or possessiveness. That the Lord belongs to me, he is mine. Of course, the other alternative is, I am the Lord's. So I belong to the Lord, and the Lord belongs to me. Those two ideas are there. So in that sense, there is a oneness also, in terms of possessiveness. In which there is an identity between Supreme Lord and the jiva. But of course that's not a literal identification in the sense of merging of the Atma with the Supreme. But it's more or less a psychological identification based on prema. So the conclusion is that the jiva and the Supreme Lord are actually different. And that, of course, is supported by Bhagavatam. However, in the context of what Sankumar is saying, because he is a propagator of jnana, then it also can be taken as an impersonal statement that he's talking about getting out of the material identification, understanding that you're not material, that you are Brahman, you are spirit rather than matter. So it can be taken on that level also. But there's identification of Jiva with spirit, not matter, in a very simple way, rather than identifying God as separate. In this way, we have a statement here of Sanat Kumar emphasizing the fact that we should not identify with the material body. So in that way, he's saying, therefore, you are that, because you're not matter at all, you are spiritual. So this, of course, we can take as the interpretation of the statements in the Upanishads that say that also, that it is simply a negation of material identity. So such statements are made for that reason. And we don't take it as a cruel fact that the jiva is Brahman or Supreme Lord. In the previous verses, Sanat Kumar has been emphasizing the fact or describing how the jiva is caught up inside the material world and suffering by that material identity. So here he is saying that therefore, because of this miserable position of the jiva, one has to come out of that position and realize one's true nature. So the nature itself is not foreign, because this is the nature of the jiva himself. But by identification with body through ahankara, we have this upadi and a false identification. So we identify with the covering rather than with the actual soul which is being covered. So this is called ignorance. To mistake one thing for another. To mistake the self, body for the self, that's called bhram. Making a mistake or illusion. So the logical solution to that is to correct the mistake by knowledge. So, therefore, jnana is the process of resolving all of this problem and getting liberation. However, when we talk about knowledge, it has to be in two distinct phases. We have knowledge, you can read a book or whatever, and you say that is knowledge. And similarly, we can read the Brahma Sutras and say, okay, that's knowledge, whatever. But that does not give us liberation. So, there's another level of knowledge which we call the realization aspect. When you actually realize you are not the material body. So that is the higher stage of knowledge, which is more valuable. But we cannot separate the two. Because generally we cannot get the higher knowledge without the lower knowledge. Unless we have this idea that I'm not the body, we can never realize it. In that sense, the other knowledge, the theoretical knowledge, or the scriptural knowledge is necessary. So therefore, the Jnanis study the scripture, particularly the Vedanta Sutras and the Upanishads, with the idea of eventually getting the realization that I'm not the Atma. I'm not the body, I am a spirit. So this is the process of Jnana. We study the scriptures and become convinced that we're not the body, we are spirit. So as I mentioned previously, that is a process, but that is actually not the process recommended for us in this age. If we want to realize we're Atma and not the material body and get rid of the suffering, the easier process is to recognize the Supreme Lord. So we take the emphasis off the jiva and onto the Supreme Lord. And by realizing the Supreme Lord, we also realize the jiva. And therefore we're also free from material energy. So the process of bhakti automatically achieves this liberation or this jnana within it. And so that's why they said in the first canto that by worshipping the Supreme Lord, jnana and vairagya automatically manifest. Realization that we're not the body, we're the Atma is obviously there. We realize the Supreme Lord and our relationship with Him. Because we cannot have a material relationship with the Supreme Lord. We're going to realize the Lord in a relationship. It has to be a spiritual realization. So therefore, automatically we'll realize Atma as well. So immediately we have jnana. Therefore, we're free from the upadis, ignorance, etc. of the material world. So in one sense, we can say that bhakti is also jnana. It is also a type of knowledge. And sometimes this word is used in relation to bhakti as well. With the understanding, it's not the same as that other type of knowledge to get liberation. So bhakti is also a realization, but it is a greater realization, not just of Atma, I am not the body, I am spirit, but it is a realization of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that type of jnana, which is bhakti, automatically gives us relief from the problems of the material world. Yeah. I am God. Well, it's a rather intellectual process followed by controlling the senses, renunciation, austerities, stopping activities because we realize the body is Maya, so we take no interest in the material body. And we meditate upon the fact that I am Atma, I am not the material body, and we control the senses, etc. So it's a matter of sense control, renunciation, along with meditation that I am Atma, not body. So, an easier process of doing that, of course, is to stop the functions of the yoga process. So that is why Krishna says, better than jnana is yoga. So one achieves that same goal through the yoga process, because it's a specific way of controlling the senses and the mind. And by pranayama and dhara, pratyahara, dhara and jnana. So it's considerably more effective in that way. Yeah, well, most people do the Hatha Yoga not for realizing Atma, but for health reasons or whatever. So that's not the real purpose.
How does one develop in the process of Bhakti Yoga, we get knowledge, and then how that translates into realization?
Well, through Bhakti we realize the Supreme Lord. That's the knowledge.
No matter what is that he is rich from theoretical knowledge that there is one Supreme Lord, Krishna.
Oh, well, we have the process of bhakti. In the process of bhakti, we have hearing, chanting, remembering, meeting, worship, etc. So first of all, we understand that we're not God, we're a servant of God. It's theoretical knowledge. Based on that, then we begin a process of worship. And we offer things, we practice worshiping God, and offering things to God and trying to please Him. So, besides the theoretical knowledge, we also have engagement of the senses, which we call bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering. So that engagement, if done properly, that is with faith, then the Atma develops attraction for the Lord. And at a certain point, the Lord will reveal Himself. And the bodies also are dissolved, simultaneously in the process of bhakti.
God will give it to us by spiritual senses. And the senses have become purified, and God will give it to us.
Well, yeah, in the material world we do bhakti with our senses. And we are doing bhakti, those senses are spiritualized through the process of bhakti. But if we get a spiritual body, we perceive the Supreme Lord through spiritual senses. If we don't do bhakti, we just do jnana, we don't develop those spiritual senses, we don't see God. We just realize Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
no, 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 no. I think he probably says in his small, perhaps. Pakcha. Not gross in the sense that you can see it, so therefore it's subtle in that sense. And the pranas go with the subtle body also. Even the senses are not part of the gross body, they're part of the subtle body. The senses also go with the jiva when he dies. So pranas and senses and intelligence go, mind go with the jiva.
Is it appropriate for a sadhaka to practice possessiveness?
Mm-hmm.
Is it appropriate for a sadhaka to practice possessiveness?
Possessiveness of the Lord.
Okay.
It cannot artificially be practiced in one sense, but it develops with the process of bhakti, because we go through stages of nishta, ruchi, asakti. So we can say that sakti is an attraction for the Lord, so there's a little bit of possessiveness there also. That becomes more prominent in bhava and then in prema. So it's a natural byproduct of the development of bhakti itself. Nothing has to be separately cultivated.
What's
that?
Some places in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I'm to me, specifically, and some places, I'm to him.
Mm. Right? Yeah. It would depend on the context. If he's speaking in general, he may say, unto the Lord or whatever. But then we can resolve that because then Krishna says, I am the Lord. So then one is equal to the other. So what is the difference?
Parantara Sisha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Atalatma Maharaj ki jaya, Vibhandeti Tibetan Dhamma Prabhupada ki jaya, Arvottam Adhu.
Starting point.